Please give your prayerful attention to my brother-in-law, Ken.
Thank you, Jay. Good evening. Didn't get a chance this morning. Happy Mother's Day. Welcome to those who are live streaming this evening. I'd like to welcome each of you this evening into the house of the Lord. I think it's important that when we come to this chapel, that we realize we're coming to the house of the Lord. You know, in Mexico, where we're at, could be in somebody's home. At that particular moment, it's God's house. His promise was that where two or three are gathered together in His name, and I, perhaps we should add, doing His will, that He's going to be in our midst. So it doesn't amaze me, but it always fills my heart when I go to a little village in Mexico and meet with maybe 6, 7, 8 people. And you can feel the Spirit of God as you walk into their home, their humble home. So we are truly in the house of God this evening. In the second book of Nephi, in the 13th chapter, there's a promise given in this one verse of scripture. It's a 13th chapter, it's verse 16, page 161. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that you are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water according to His word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost." You know, a precious promise that God has given to us, that gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, we go to the waters of baptism and we receive a remission of our sins. And that's generally what we're thinking when we come to that point in our lives where we want to have baptism and we're ready to give our lives to God. I remember my baptism. That's a long time to remember, but I think about 43 years ago. And that was my hope. That was my desire, was to receive a remission of my sins. And I'll be honest with you. If anybody had known me 45 years ago, 46 years ago, you'd never, ever thought that I'd be standing here, even part of this congregation, probably even alive. I probably had books and books and books of sins that I needed to be forgiven for. But that simple act of going into the water, I found out later, I think the water temperature was like 42 degrees. It was in northern Michigan. It was cold. But I had a fear that when I walked into that water, because I don't like cold water. I don't like cold showers. I don't like cold water. That was one of my fears. You know, that water was warm. I remember the water being warm. But my desire was to receive a remission of my sin. Other than salvation and that hope that we have when we made that commitment, that hope that we have when we serve God, other than the promise of salvation, the gift of God's Spirit is the most precious gift that we ever can receive. It's God's testimony to us of Him. It's God's testimony of His Son. And I marvel. I marvel at the gift that God has given us. God sent His Son to die on that cross, to give us the hope and the opportunity of eternal life. And then He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was God. That was the promise of Christ just before He ascended into heaven. He says, I'll send you a comforter. That comforter is that Spirit of God. That witness that we have of God's truthfulness. The witness of the words of Christ. You know, in Romans it says that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation. We have everything we need. And these words that we have before us, we have everything we need to gain salvation. You know, it just brought me to mind when we were singing the song, Holy Spirit, faithful guide, ever near the Christian side. And not one of us, there's not one of us within the sound of my voice that from time to time has not felt alone. Has not felt in a wilderness, has not felt far from God. But He's ever near the Christian side. I've been reading some books, and this author, just about every book in such a certain way, one's about David, King David, the other's about Moses, and their lives, he kind of weaves a story about their lives and how God prepared them. How God prepared Elijah basically for one purpose. How He prepared Moses for one purpose. How He took this young boy and made him king. But every one of them, David and Moses and Elijah, Joseph, they all had to go through their wilderness. He made the statement, and I'm paraphrasing it, but He made the statement, if we're to be true followers of Christ, if we want to serve God, if we want to be used by Him, we have to go through our desert. He said, we cannot serve God unless we go through our personal desert, whatever that may be. Different things for every one of us, you know. Moses' desert was different than David's, and David's was different than Elijah's. They're all different than Joseph's. But they all went through a trial, a trying. God was purifying them. God was fine-tuning them. Today, God's preparing us for His return. And I'm not going to stand here and say that it's going to be in a year or 2 years. I don't know. All I know is that we are close. God is preparing us for His return. Wants us to rid our lives of all those things that would be a detriment to our service, that perhaps would have us on the outside looking in when He comes to His house. And we knock. And He says, I don't know who you are. Oh, He knows us. He knows our names, but he says, I don't know who you are. You're not one of mine. You haven't followed me. You haven't kept my commandments. You haven't served me. He's ever near. So when we're walking through our desert, perhaps we should count it as a joy when we're walking through our desert. I could probably point to 7 or 8 people in this congregation to stand up and give their testimony about their desert right, brother?
That they walk through to get them to this point in their lives. You know, we don't receive the witness of our faith until the trial of our faith. I can't imagine, I'm reading about Joseph, and to me, you know, 13, I think it was 13, either 13 or 17 years, he was in captivity. He was in jail. He was in a dungeon. He was without hope. Without hope. It was something about Joseph that, you know, we all know about his trial, and he was in prison and falsely accused and became the Pharaoh's second in command. But something that always amazes me about our ancient brother Joseph is, and he had lots of opportunities to be angry. And maybe he, you know, we don't have the whole story. We don't have the many years of his personal journal or whatever, but what we read in the scriptures, he had every right, probably, to be angry at his family. Who wouldn't want to have that anger at 10 brothers who sold you into slavery? Who wouldn't want to be angry at Potiphar's wife for falsely accusing him? Who wouldn't want to be angry at the baker? It was one of the servants of Pharaoh who was in prison with him, and Joseph interpreted this dream, and he was released, and when he went back to Pharaoh, Joseph said, tell the Pharaoh about me. He didn't. He forgot. I think it was 2 years later before Pharaoh had experiences, and the guy already suddenly remembered. I know a man. And they brought him forward, and Joseph could have been angry. But he wasn't. He could have used his power to get revenge, but he welcomed his family. I don't know what he did with the baker or whoever it was, but there's no record that he ever had any ill feelings. Infinite patience. No anger. So when we're going through our wilderness, when we're going through our desert places, I could stand here for an hour and tell you my desert places in my last year. But God was there. He's there when we're sad. He's there when we're distressed. He's there when we're despondent. He's there when we have no hope. He's there. He's ever near the Christian side. In Romans. Romans chapter 8. The Spirit of God that's within us. Romans 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Amen to that, brothers and sisters. You know, we get down on our knees and we have humble prayers. We have heartfelt prayers and we cry and we lift our voices to God. But do we really know what we should be praying for? But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That precious gift of God that we received when we walked into that waters of baptism, we come out and we had the hands laid on us. We received that gift. And now that Spirit goes to God on our behalf. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God's searching our hearts and he knows the mind of that Spirit. He created the Spirit. He knows the mind of the Spirit because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God's will for each of us is to spend eternal life with him in his kingdom. That's God's goal. That's God's purpose. That's God's hope for us, to spend eternity. I looked it up one time, and I forget how many times The promise of Christ to us was, if we keep his commandments, we have eternal life. You keep my commandments, endure to the end, you have eternal life. Over and over and over again, we have the promise of eternal life. But in this life, we have the promise that that Spirit of God will go to God on our behalf, praying for us, making intercession for us. Just as Christ, when we stand before the judgment bar, is going to make intercession for us. Makes intercession for us now. But he's going to go to God, his Father, and say, "Welcome, my faithful servant." You know, and if we pass Christ, if he accepts us, God is going to accept us. He can present us pure to his Father and his kingdom. And in verse 17, it says, "Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, and then can we speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel." Speak the tongue of angels. Verse 3 of the 14th chapter says, "And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ." If we speak the tongue of angels, we're going to speak the words of Christ. We're going to shout praises unto God. One of the purposes of the angels is to shout praises to God for eternity. And we know less than that. In this song we sang, it says, "Gently lead us by the hand." Oh, God leads us. He's got his hand out. All we have to do is reach out. God never, ever moves. He's always in the same spot. If he seems far away, it's me that's moved, that's gone away from him, that's departed. And then it says, "Pilgrims in a desert land." We're pilgrims in a desert land. We're going through our dreary place, our dry place. God is preparing us. He is. He's preparing us for his return. We talked this morning in the Sunday school about God gathering the house of Israel. God's preparing us. God, you know, God gave us the gospel. He gave us the gospel for a reason, to bring his people in, to take this gospel back to the house of Israel. That's what we're doing here in this land. Mexico, Central America, other nations, we're taking the gospel to God's people. Yeah. There's probably 500,000 of God's people in Phoenix. We're going to take that gospel to God's people. He's preparing us. We may not realize it. We may not think about it. We may not even know that he's doing it. But he is preparing us to take the gospel to his people. That's our job. I think he's also preparing us to receive them. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be different. It's going to be obstacles. But this little group here, we're going to receive, I don't know, hundreds, thousands, I don't know how many, but God's going to call out to his people and open doors and send us out. He's preparing us to take this gospel to his people, preparing us to receive him and to receive Christ when he returns. That's his goal. He's doing his part. Are we doing our part? Are we listening? Are we listening to that voice of the Spirit? Are we listening to the call of the Spirit? Are we being willing? Are we being open? Or are we just going through life? Doing our jobs and making our decisions and having our families and having a career. Is that what we're doing? If that's all we're doing, then we're wasting our time. These other things are important. Don't get me wrong. It's important to have a good job. It's important to have a family. It's important to have a roof over our heads. All these things are important, but it's nothing if our desire and our goal is not to work for God. And it can work for Him in many capacities. Then our life is a failure. A failure if we're not working for God. Who are we? Yeah. Who are we? Who were we? What are we? Yeah. Brother Jim was a fireman. Is that who he was? That was his job. That's how he made a living. That's not who Jim was. That's not who Jim is. We are God's people. And we're going to be used. And God is directing us. The end of the song, it says, whispering softly, wanderer come, follow me, I'll guide thee home. How else are we going to get to heaven unless we follow Christ? Verse 2, ever present, truest friend, ever near thine aid to lend. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask. God will say no. Maybe his answer is no answer. But you know, he gave us something. Gave us something. He didn't give your pet dog. He didn't give your pet bird or your fish. He didn't give it to the animals. He gave us a brain. He gave us a brain, and he also gave us the power to reason, to feel, to experience, to listen. Sometimes he doesn't give us the answer right away because he wants us to figure it out. Figure it out ourselves. You know, you send your kid to school, and he comes home and says, hey, Dad, I can't do this math problem. Okay, so the dad sits down, does the math problem, sends his kid off to school. What did the kid learn? Nothing. Same with God. He's not going to solve our problems. He's going to make us, if we're a good parent, we're going to make our kid do it. Struggle through it. Oh, we may help them and say, look at it this way. Or should you consider this? Or go back two chapters and study the formula. You don't know it. That's God with us. He's going to direct us and guide us. Always there. Just like the parent is always there with their child, he's always there with us. Listen. Listen to him. Leave us not to doubt and fear. What do we got to fear? What do we have to doubt in this world? What do we have to fear if we know that God is with us? But that's our human nature, isn't it? Oh, God gave me an experience. God told me what to do. And over a period of time, you know, even if we write it down, over a period of time, we kind of lose that initial brilliance, that initial revelation, that initial feeling we had. And then what do we start to do? Did he really speak to me? Did I interpret that right? Or is that what he wants me to do? Well, that seems kind of unusual. It's really not what I want to do. Leave us not to doubt and fear. Do not doubt the voice of God. Do not doubt. When the storms are raging sore, hearts grow faint and hopes give o'er. Don't we get just Sometimes we want to give up hope, but you say, oh, I blew it. It's over. I can't do anymore. The Lord is not, he's done with me. He's never done with us. Not as long as we have a desire to serve him and to follow him. He's not done with us. That's Satan whispering in our ears. It's too late. God's angry with you. He's not going to forgive you. You blew it. You know you did this and this and this and this over maybe years. You blew it, brother. You blew it, sister. God's always willing to lift us up, to hold our hand, and to guide us to that promised land. Wonder, follow me, I'll guide you home. When our days of toil shall cease, waiting still for sweet release. Pleading not, but Jesus' blood. That's our hope. The blood of Jesus Christ is our hope. Get my notes up. Don't know what I did with them. Okay. The light of the world. Jay kind of preached my sermon this morning anyway, so we're going to do it again. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. These are the words of Christ. It says, ye are the light of the world. I want you to think of these words as we're reading. You are the light of the world. He's talking to us. We're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Here's two key things here. They see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I guarantee if we do something to bring praise to me, it's not going to work. We've received our reward. Our duty, our responsibility is that everything that we do brings praise and honor and glory to God. We have no light in ourselves. We have none. Our light is Jesus Christ. You ever think about the moon? How sometimes it's big and it's bright. It's just like daylight. You don't need a flashlight. You can walk and see perfectly well. But that moon has no light. That moon is reflecting the light of the sun. That's all we do. We reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Because we have no light in ourselves. We reflect his light to the world. Okay. First quarter, last quarter of the moon, you go out and it's kind of small. You can't see very good, can you? It's kind of dim. Because, I don't know all the scientific things that moon's in a different place, further from the sun. It's not catching all the rays and we're only getting part of it. Sometimes we're the same way. We only reflect part of the rays of Christ. Or it's a cloudy night. You go out, cloudy night, and guess what? Those clouds are obscuring the moon. We can barely see it. Maybe we know it's there, but it's not showing much light because of the cloud. Because of sin in our life, sin in my life, I'm not showing much light. I'm obscuring that light of Christ. And that's the light we shine, brothers and sisters, is the light of Christ. We walk into a store, we go to school, we go to work. Our countenance should show the light of Christ. our voice, our demeanor, our attitude. Immediately. It shouldn't take days or weeks or months for people to figure out who we are. We walk into a place, should be instant. People can say, that person's different. They may have no idea why, but they know we're different. Do we let our light shine? Do we allow the light of Christ to be reflected off of us for the world to see? See our good works and glorify God. We must keep God's commandments. That's how we show forth the light of Christ. We keep His commandments in our speech, in our actions, in our daily walk. We show the light of Christ. First Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. We'll read 12 and 13. And he's speaking to a young man, but he's speaking to everyone. We can apply these two verses to our lives, whether we're Brother Jim is going to be 90 years old, or somebody that's a teenager. It applies to both equally. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And this is the point. Jim's not young, but his responsibility is to be an example of the believer. Mark's responsibility. Every one of us has a responsibility to be an example of the believer in word, how we speak, what we say, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I mean, Jay was saying, you know, the world is angry. The world is angry. We're not to be angry. We're not to respond in kind. We're not to be angry with people. We're not to have road rage. I think we've all experienced that little bit of road rage, you know. Took me years, but I think I'm over it. I'm not sure. Somebody may cut me off and I may tell them what I think. But that's all right. We're not to do that. We're not to do that. I remember Frank Fan preaching a sermon one time. He's talking about charity. And he says, you know, I'm a charitable guy. I'm paraphrasing. You know, I'm a charitable guy. And he says, I exercised my charity one day. He says, I said, a light someplace in Independence, and the light turned. This guy behind him started blowing his horn. Well, he says, I calmly drove 10 miles an hour down that street. I showed my charity, you know. We're not to do that, you know. That's, you know, we just go on about our business. But we're to example in word, what we say in our conversation, our daily walk in life, we're to be an example in charity, the pure love of Jesus Christ. That's our example to the world. How would Christ react? What would he do? What would he say? Yeah, he was honest. If you were a sinner, he probably told you so. You know? But he did it in kindness. He did it in love. He did it in respect. In spirit. In faith. In faith, in purity. Purity. And he says, Until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to reading. We can all read. Huh? My grandson Asher, I think, can read a little bit. Huh? He can read. Yeah. We can all read. We can all comprehend. We can all understand. We're to study the scriptures. Show ourselves approved to God and see what miraculous things he can do with us. That's the thing. Not going to turn to it. 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter, 55th verse says, Behold, I am the light. These are the words of Christ. He says, Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. That's the light we're to hold up, the light of Christ. What we've seen him do, we got two books of scriptures that tell us about Christ and what he did, the example that he was for us. Again, in 3 Nephi in the 12th chapter, says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church. We have no excuse. We know what we must do. We know our responsibilities. We know those things that are required of us. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. Basically, he's telling, be no different than me. Do the things that I did. Act the same way I did. Say the same words I did. Have the same charity, the same love, the same faith, the same determination, same endurance. Simple verse in 14th chapter of John, the 15th verse says, If you love me, keep my commandments. Simple verse. Simple commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I think sometimes I've mentioned it many times. You know, God is kind of black and white, you know. We're kind of gray. We make excuses. We kind of say, well, we make an excuse for this, or, well, that's okay. Or, you know, we're full of gray. We're full of gray. Well, it's not so bad. It's okay, you know. I'm not hurting anybody. It's, you know, we make excuses. I threw some scriptures that, and I'm not going to go through them all because there's lots of them, that tell us the things that we should not do. That if we do these things, we don't make it. If we do these things, we don't make it. It says, well, if we only do them partly, it's okay. Or if we try it, or, you know. He says, if we do them, we ain't going to make it. You know? Let's turn to Galatians. I'm going to use one example here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. I'm not going to go into a word study with you tonight. I'm going to read these verses, these words. I want you to go home. I want you to get your Strong's out. I want you to get a good dictionary out. I want you to look up these words and see exactly what they mean. You may be surprised. You may be a little bit surprised what some of these words mean. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness. And that, I want to talk just for a second about drunkenness. We immediately associate drunkenness with alcohol. And that's true. But we can be drunk on anything. A video game. Our cell phones, our TVs, our cars, whatever alters our thinking is drunkenness. Whatever takes our mind away from making a rational and a sane decision about spiritual matters is a drunkenness. It's drunkenness. If it controls our mind, if it controls our actions, we're addicted. We're addicted. So it's more than alcohol. It's a multitude of things. Revelings. and such like. He didn't even name them all. He said, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they would do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ain't going to make it. According to Paul, according to the words of Christ, you know, King Benjamin, he said, I cannot list all the ways and means that we can sin. But we're not going to make it if we do. No gray. Yeah. We sin, we have the opportunity to repent and come clean before God. Okay, here's another promise, though. John chapter 15. I just love the scriptures, you know, because there's promises, promises, promises. We do such and such, God's going to give us something. We keep his commandments, we endure to the end, we have eternal life. We do other things. He's always got a promise, a promise. It's John chapter 14. No, John chapter 15, I'm sorry. John chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. We have the same love from Christ that he had from his Father. Can we do any less? Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, what a promise. The promise is if we keep his commandments, we abide in his love. There's a script I was going to go to, but I think it's in every one of the Gospels. I was going to read one from Mark 17 through 23, and it's about the rich man. Rich young man, he came to Christ, he said, what must I do to gain salvation? And the Lord said to him, do this and this and this. And he says, I've done all these things. I've done all these things that you have told me to do. And the Lord says, you have one thing yet to do. And he was rich. He said, give all your money to the poor. Sell everything and give it to the poor. Well, all we know is the man went away sad. He may have done it, but he went away sad. But we can apply that to everything, not only money. I don't know if anybody here has got a lot of money. But our ideas, our attitude, we have to give it up. We have to change it. We have to give up those things that are dear and near to our hearts, perhaps, and serve him. Bottom line is, we need to give everything to God, whatever it is. Keep his commandments, and we need to give our hearts, our minds, and our lives to God. That's what he wants. And he will guide us. He will direct us. I wish I could remember the scripture exactly, but one of my mother-in-law's favorite scriptures, she never saw a man, how'd it go, Jay? Never saw a man begging bread, the righteous begging bread, if you're right, you never. We don't have to beg. I wish I could quote, I shouldn't have said anything, but I wish, I'll remember it tomorrow. But anyway, we don't have to worry. Never saw the righteous forsaken, that's it. He never saw the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Isn't that a true statement? If we're righteous, well, we may miss a meal. We may have beans and rice 6 days a week. I don't know. But he's always there to provide for us. I was going to talk about Satan coming in and destroying us, but I'll save that for another time. I do want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think getting verse 54 would be sufficient, I think. So when this corruptible shall shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is past the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the promise. Our labor is not in vain, but we must be a light to the world. We must let the light of Christ shine off of us like that full moon and light the path of the world. And we can only do that if we are walking in the path of Christ. Thank you for your attention. God bless each of you. Oh, by the way, there's a prayer service Wednesday night.